Hello, listener, and welcome to this preview of our latest Patreon-exclusive episode. To continue the conversation and listen to the full episode, head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon. The link is in the show notes. Today we are talking about Fargo, the 1996 film written by Joel and Ethan Coen, directed technically by Joel Coen, but directed by the Coen brothers. I'm joined by the Beyond the Screenplay team, Trisha Rand.
Hello, everyone.
Brian Bittner.
Yeah, real good.
And Alex Calleros.
Hi.
All right. So we're in week 7 of our Best Picture winter season. We're getting to the end. Last week, we talked about Dune. Next week is going to be our explosive finale when we talk about Oppenheimer. Can you believe what won and the Oscars last weekend? It was, oh, man.
Which have totally happened in our
totally
past.
Happened. Yeah.
That was wild.
It was wild.
The murder surprised me.
So here we are. We're going to talk about Fargo, which I'm kind of surprised we haven't talked about before. But we're talking about it now. I love Fargo. It's a really great, fun movie. I remember watching it kind of like around the time it came out. I remember like going into the living room and like my parents were watching it on a Saturday night, and I like watched a little bit and I was like, why are these people like talking funny? And like all these people, like everyone keeps saying this movie is so great and there's all this hype, but it's just people talking funny. Like, I don't understand. So I didn't really watch it until I then was older and watched it and was like, oh, this is hilarious and amazing. I feel like I've seen it a handful of times. I like it even more every time I watch it. And what was really interesting is it's been a couple of years since I've seen the film. But as we've talked about on the podcast, I recently rewatched the Fargo TV show and totally missed how many references and homages there were, especially in that first season and like reframes.
And the latest season.
Yeah, like the reframes Martin Freeman's performance, like. Like it's spot on. It's so exactly like in the world of Fargo. Anyway, right. So that was mostly my experience watching it this time, was just being like, wow, this movie is great. Also, the TV show is great. And now I see where they're getting all this stuff from, even the music. Anyway, so this movie is just really funny and engaging and entertaining and is like about things and makes me think and lean in, and but it also feels like effortless. I don't know. There's just something so easy about watching Fargo, and it's really, really good. There's like the little detour where she goes to meet her friend, and like that whole scene that I'd kind of completely forgotten. I want to talk about that because that didn't immediately like click for me in terms of like, oh, this is what it's here for. But otherwise, everything felt really, really great, and I love this movie. Now I'm going to call on someone. This time, I'm going to use a dice rolling machine. 1, 2, 3 is Trisha, Brian, and Alex. Alex, you're number 3, says the internet.
Wow.
Yeah, I also love this movie a lot. It's such an accessible, like you said, there's something easy about it. You know, Coen Brothers films can be challenging in a good way. And this movie doesn't feel like it sacrifices any of the integrity or intelligence of any other Coen Brothers great film. And yet it's just so fun to watch. Like it's just pure entertainment, as well as being, you know, gorgeously shot and like perfectly acted, pitch perfect casting and writing and editing and scene construction. It's just pitch perfect up and down. And it's really fun. And so it's just, what more could you want? I love how the Coen brothers, you know, look at slices of Americana and just in it, all of its absurdity, but then film it and treat it like seriously and let its absurdity speak for itself. You know, that there's a very particular zone they hit where the filmmaking is doing nothing like to emphasize the goofiness of the people. It's just presenting the people in this kind of very nice Oscar movie way, but letting them be hilariously absurd in their just kind of cultural quirks. That's a certain type of like really difficult comedy to hit, but it's exactly my sensibility of just kind of the, almost the mockumentary style of just letting, taking something seriously that is so absurd and letting the absurdity just speak for itself. And then just also having really three-dimensional absurd characters, you know, characters that are funny in just their personality and how they act, but also like are taken seriously, are in real distress or real horror about what's happening, but you're also laughing. And so yeah, it's just, it, there's a magical Coen Brothers bullseye that this, this movie hits and doesn't fail. So yeah, Fargo is great.
Yeah, cool. All right. Internet says, one, two, Brian, tell me about Fargo.
Wow, so it just feels so, I don't know, lucky that you called on me. yeah, this is definitely a top five Coen Brothers movie for me, and just fan of the Coen Brothers in general. And yeah, this is one of those movies, like when we talked about Eternal Sunshine, where it's just like a movie that feels like it's just always been there. Like I've always seen this movie, so I can't remember the first time I watched it or the second or third. It's just like, oh yeah, Fargo. I've always seen Fargo. Like I was born having seen Fargo. But the cool thing is it was not a movie like Big Lebowski where I watched it over and over and over again for like, you know, in college or whatever. So I've seen this movie a lot, but I didn't have some period of time where I watched it a bunch, and therefore it always kind of re-reveals itself to me every time. You know, I don't feel like, okay, now it's this scene, now it's this scene. I'm kind of like, oh, right, I forgot this thing happens and I forgot when this thing happens. But then I've seen it enough that I'm like, I know exactly like how this character is going to say this line, you know, the exact intonation and everything. So I love having that relationship with a movie where it feels so familiar and so new to me every time I watch it. That's the words I said were right. You know, I was also just really appreciating this time. The Coen Brothers marathon that I said my partner and I started like 3 years ago, we finally finished a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Which we just had like a serious man and a True Grit left. And we watched True Grit, and I was just like, the work that Carter Burwell is doing as a composer in these movies, just creating this like rich, rustic aesthetic, you know, that just, like you were saying, Alex, everything does feel real and it feels grounded, you know, and it's just like these beautiful scenic shots where we're just kind of like looking at a parking lot and the music is telling us that like we need to be feeling things right now. And then a character walks on screen. It's just like, that's not what other director's version of this movie would be. It'd just be like, look at these yucks, you know, and the Coen Brothers have this way of just making everything feel important and like sort of deeper than it necessarily is. So I was just appreciating how much the sort of the both visual and musical aesthetic of this movie just grounds the sort of silliness and makes you care about the characters. So when that final scene, which gets me every time, happens, you're just like, yeah, I love these real people. It's not just like, what a funny time I had. It's just like, I'm so happy that Marge and Norm are happy, you know, because they feel like they're my neighbors or something. And I just want them to like succeed in the world.
I wrote a note down, opening titles and music are already a big yes for me. Just like setting the stage with just like the slow reveal and the snow and that music swelling is like, yeah, you're in good hands right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. At that time, I was thinking, hey, it's the music from the show. This is where they got it from. okay, well, the internet won't let me roll a 1D1, apparently. So I guess, Trisha, we're going to go with you. Yeah,
awesome. I love Fargo so much. Like you, Brian, though, it's not one that I've watched to death. So it does have always like a freshness to it. And this time around, again, I was just delighted, like at every moment. Allow me to quote from Roger Ebert's review of this movie from 1996, which he concluded with, films like Fargo are why I love the movies. And it's like the groundedness that you guys are identifying is there, where these people feel all the way like real, but at the same time, the like fairy dust of like, almost allegory or like Coen Brother magic, where it feels like the story we're being told is something, you know, somehow like orchestrated or like Yeah. Again, it's being told so masterfully that the filmmaker gods are there always, it feels like. And yeah, I love that tone. Like, they're able to do it so well where you never are supposed to forget that you're watching a movie, and yet you are so, it's just like holding up this mirror to us and our, you know, us and our world. But you never forget that it's a mirror, right? There's this thing where it's like the sort of through the looking glass, like, this is our warped reality, but it's our reality thing. I don't know. It's so good. And I love it. Like, I guess satire is almost the word, right? Like, this is a satire Midwestern nice. And all of the horror that lies underneath of it. And, or just rather the like boringness. Like, I love that good and evil are boring. Like, this is a huge epic story of good and evil, and everything about it is just so like banal. It's perfect. Like, it's so perfect. And yeah, it does. It feels like their movies are always about something bigger than what they're about. And yet there's so much richness into what is even there. And it's amazing. And, you know, Frances McDormand won an Oscar for this performance. The Coen brothers won a screenplay Oscar for it. And yeah, it just like, it left such to my mind, left such a stamp on like the American psyche and like cinematic landscape. Just a simple crime comedy done to perfection. Like, they don't make them like this. The only people that do are the Coens.
Yeah. And the TV show tries in its own little way.
Nice.
Also, Frances McDormand is in this movie, I just checked, for 26 minutes.
Whoo!
Yeah, so amazing. I wrote down two notes, one of which was Frances comes in Act 2, yep. And the other is Peter Stormare is Ryan Gosling. like watch it again, and he's not
Ryan Gosling.
You could swap Passing Ryan Gosling, yeah. And it would be kind of the same. Like,
can we remake Twins with the two of them? Because I would watch that.
Interesting. But yeah, so like the structure of the movie I'd kind of forgotten, and how it really just drops you into the middle of this, like, you know, crime orchestration that's already happened, right? Where William H. Macy is dropping off the car, like, we're sort of putting together, okay, what has happened? He's hired them to do this thing. So I thought that was interesting. And we're just in that world of all of it going wrong for the first act. And then about 20 minutes in is when we get introduced to the Frances McDormand character. And then we start doing like the police work stuff. Also, I had forgotten that she was pregnant and like a character.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty big part of her character.
Yeah. I don't know. But so it's just interesting how the story unfolds. Like, it's simple, and in some ways it feels like it's taking its time, but really it's like getting us right into it in terms of what we need to know for the plot. And that was a really interesting way to kick off the movie.
Talking about getting right into it, the first scene with William H. Macy and Steve Buscemi and Peter Stormare in the diner or whatever, or bar. Dive bar,
yeah.
It's just such, like, right off the bat, I'm leaning forward because these are such interesting characters. Yeah, Jerry Lundegaard is this very particular type of kind of Coen Brothers nervous, you know, almost like a P.T. Anderson character. Mm. And it's just so much fun to watch this kind of 90s era scene where you drop this completely inept character socially into like an extremely high stakes, stressful situation that in like a cool movie would be like the cool crime meeting scene and like the handoff. But we have people that are completely ill-equipped for the crime task at hand dropped into the scenario. And then we get to watch it play out in this excruciatingly human way. And just right off the bat, the movie has me, because it's like you said, we don't make them like this anymore. I don't see many movies that just start with great scenes like this, where like from the beginning, I love these characters. I want to see what happens because they're so, the obstacles they're going to face, they are so ill-equipped to face them. And it's going to be wild. But whatever happens next is going to be wild because these characters don't know how to do it.
Hope you enjoyed this preview clip. To continue the conversation and listen to the entire episode, head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon. The link is in the show notes.